thorough recording. And just to design a kind of a few particles, really, and to design a quick alliance. Hopefully everyone can hear me okay. Let me know if you can't. And if everyone who's on the call, if you can all turn your cameras on and leave yourselves on mute for the time being. This is a brilliant conversation. We're going to be discussing range. Hopefully I will be quiet for a lot of it, because what I would like is to have as the title says, a brilliant conversation, and really invite everybody to kind of talk about what range means for them, and how they think expanding range either helps their coaching or helps them in life. From the email that was sent out, you all kind of know my high level headline opinion on range. I mean, I want to use that as the basis of this conversation. In terms of how to kind of use the technology here now, and I suppose what kind of expected is, it really is just a conversation. So it's not a case of sitting there and waiting for me to kind of speak to you guys and give you the answers. There's really no authority here. I want to kind of take that rule from Synergy and say that everybody gets to be right, wrong, left, right. Everything is acceptable here. Please feel free to just speak. You don't need to engage your brains. Just talk from your gut. Talk to really what you feel about what's going on and about the topic, really. In terms of being aware of other people, just be present to what's going on. So if you see an opportunity to speak, just unmute and go for it. Don't talk over each other, but really let's engage in dialogue and let's engage in discussion. Any questions about that before we begin? No. So who wants to start then? What does range mean to you guys? Who has an opinion, or who has something they want to say about range and coaching right now?
Okay. So I had an interesting, I think, experience with range this week. In this thing that Joe and I are doing with Phil, our homework was to go out and interview people. So I interviewed three really different sort of people. One who was easily in my tribe and who dove into the pain, and it was just this rich vein. And then two other people really weren't. And one, it was sort of teasing everything out, and it just felt tough. But in the end, the things that came out of it were just as great, but they were in much smaller nuggets. And I just felt at the end of it, wow, that, you know, really challenged me. And then the second one, it was a very happy person, and I was taking her back to harder times. And that was very, very difficult, because she really didn't want to go there. And then she started talking about something else, and some amazing things came out of it. But I kind of walked away really questioning myself after both of the latter ones. And I realized that it's really important for me just to let myself go, see what happens, and try not to force it, because it felt really quite difficult and awkward. But yet the learning out of it was just as cool and great. So I realized, I think I try and lean toward things that are obvious wins, let's say. But yet it's just important to go the other way as well.
So a question that I'd like to ask here is, how would kind of playing out of your range, or playing out of that middle C, if you all remember in fundamentals on the Sunday, that there's the being name tags, where actually everyone's given the name tag to stretch themselves from that safe zone into kind of things that they have, qualities that they do demonstrate, but to really play into those things that they don't lean on so much.
Yes.
So my question is, how would that have helped you in those situations? What would have happened?
That's a great question, because my whole big thing was leaning away from professionalism and leaning much more, my name tag was drunk. So just being much more enthusiastically me. And to be honest, I think the more I lean into that person, the less it matters what comes up. because it's all just about being more of me, whatever that is at the time, because that's all right. So that's really helpful.
I love what you say there. It's about being more me. It's exactly that. I think it's not about being something that you're not, but it's about playing with the range that you have and really leaning into those things that you show, but maybe sometimes shy away of, or away from rather. And if you were to kind of approach the homework from Phil from that drunk name tag, how would it have been different? What would have been new? What would have been available to you?
Any sort of fear about, because it's not fear about sending out the message. That was easy. But all of a sudden in that moment, it's like, what have I done? This isn't somebody I want to upset, or I want them to go away having a good feeling about me. Right. So it's that focus on me and how I come across, as opposed to letting all of that go and saying, but they agreed to see me, so what's the big deal? This is all in service of clients and growth and their growth and my growth and the world's growth and everything else. And it just lets go of any sort of, fear around it, of not looking good, let's say.
And for me, I think letting go of looking good or the need to look good is actually one of the most freeing things, because so often we're consumed with, how will other people see me? And I need them to like what I'm showing. And actually, when you try hard to be liked, often the opposite becomes the truth. And when you actually just show up in your full range, people do often just connect in, and they really do really warm to you. And so much more becomes available.
Well, I think, as a last comment around this, one of the big things for me is connection. And I'm slowly realizing I'm never going to make those connections when I try and be someone that I'm not. But those genuine, real connections come from me being myself and other people being themselves. And that's where the lasting work comes from, the lasting beauty of it comes from.
And how does that impact you as a coach?
I think going back to that expanse and willingness to play, and willingness to be whatever anybody needs in the moment. I just become that vessel. It's not about me at all. It's purely about whatever is there. There's no looking right, wrong, or anything. So I think that just opens the door for a massive amount of range, because anything's possible.
Yeah, it's about holding the space for the person in front of you.
Exactly.
And kind of open this up to everybody in this call. How do you kind of experience this idea of holding space with clients when they show up with topics that actually really resonate for you? So I know I once had a client who was going through a breakup at a time when I was going through a breakup, and actually needing to have the range to be with that in someone else and not be at my level one was quite a lot of self-management. It was quite a tough call. But how do other people experience that? How does range and really working on expanding your range really support you in holding your clients where they are, even when they show up with topics that really resonate for you in that moment?
I try using metaphor. I feel like if I've got a client that shows up with something that's a bit too close, then I find by diving into their metaphor, it seems to help the self-management a bit, because it seems to sort of detach that situation or that resonance from me by using their metaphor and expanding into that and sort of diving into it with them, or maybe an image or something like that that comes from them.
And how do you stay out of your level one in those situations? What is it? Because that's a great skill. And I suppose what I would like to kind of direct us to is, how does range also help you stay out of your level one? When we talk about range, what does that mean? What work do we do? And how do we use that alongside the coaching skills that we've learned?
I think I go into a bit of process, maybe, and I just sort of take it right into this moment, what's here now for you, and try and open up something from that principle. I kind of keep, sometimes I name it, and I say, you know, I'm noticing this is quite painful for me as well, but I'm wondering what's here for you on this now.
And I love what you say there, Paula, about naming it. I think that's really important, having the confidence and the freedom to name what's going on for you in that session, and knowing that that isn't being at your level one.
I didn't do it for ages. It took me a lot of guts to do that, to be honest with you. I think I had a couple of sessions with the client, and then I think I was talking to someone about it and they said try that, so actually I did, and I think it lifted a weight from me, and they acknowledged it, and then I was worried it was going to become about me, but it actually didn't. It was just one quick sentence, and then it was like I let go of something and then was able to actually step right back into you know, their place.
How were you able to let go of it?
I think I was just holding on to it too tightly. So it was a bit like the elephant in the room. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. It's not about you. It's not about you. Of course, the minute you do that, that's all you can think about. So the minute I said that, I can't exactly remember what I said, but I said, this is close to my heart. And I notice I'm feeling some emotions as well. And it sort of just took the pressure off me that I was able to let it out. You know, it's like you tell a child, don't speak, don't shout, you know, and all they can do is they want to scream and shout. It was like that sort of allowed it to just be in the space, and then it let go of something for me.
And do you notice that that's a new thing, or that was a new thing at the time? Like, how would that be different to maybe where you were when you just had done fundamentals?
Oh God, that was totally different. I'd never have dreamt of saying anything like that when I'd done fundamentals, maybe even core curriculum, because it, you know, it's focused on the client. It's not about you. Self-manage. So yeah, that was a really new thing to add to my range, to think it's okay. I sort of give myself permission to name the impact it's having on me. So it took a lot of guts, but actually it just changed the whole dynamic of that coaching session and coaching on that topic.
Yeah, and I like that you bring the entire core curriculum into this, actually, because I was having a conversation with someone this morning who's about to start the core curriculum, and they were asking me about how I use what I learned on core. And one of the things that I said is there's two very distinct journeys that happened for me, and my assumption for all of us on core. One of them is the professional development. So one of them is the coaching toolkit, the skills, learning about the model, the principles, all those things that we, powerful questions that we use as we coach. But parallel to that, there's a journey that's very personal. And actually that journey is almost like the best coaching you ever have, like the design of the core curriculum, the arc of each weekend, the arc of the entire program, is there really to grow you as a person. And so really in tandem, you have these two amazing journeys, and explicitly it is a professional development program. But within that, actually the personal development, the growth that we experience personally really contributes to how we are as confident, brave, courageous coaches. And actually that's kind of like a little secret gift. Like you're not told that's not going to come. But for me, that actually played a really big part in how I view myself as a coach now. And the process weekend obviously is really about growing our range. And when we experience not only the coaching of those weekends, but the being coached, we really, really grow. And that is as important as knowing the model and standing in those cornerstones, but constantly working on ourselves and our own personal growth. Where does that kind of resonate with people, or what are people's opinions on that? Anybody?
I can absolutely contribute there, because I think this week I'm currently going through certification, and I had a coaching session with Ronnie, and my coaching session was all around self-care, which, you know, I'm sure for everybody pops up a lot for clients, and is challenging to manage when you're trying to build a business, I think, especially if you have workaholic tendencies like I do. So I think it's just about, I've noticed a couple of things. Often with my clients, stuff will pop up with them that resonate. It's like, it's almost like a sign pointing to me. It's like, oh, okay, that's three people you've spoken, that they've spoken about meditation this week. Maybe that's the universe telling you something. And also it massively, I think it helps you gain an understanding of when a client wants to, says they want to do something, but aren't able to for whatever reason. So it kind of helps me bring my curiosity. But yeah, I'd say it definitely shows up.
And for you, so you're talking about self-care there as well. What are your self-care practices? What do you do to really look after yourself, and make sure that you can be present to your client with whatever they bring?
So, I'm sitting here having failed massively because I've got a bad back at the moment because I've stopped doing Pilates, and Pilates is the thing that if I do Pilates, my back's fine. So that's been an interesting, you know, kind of learning for me this week. But the key things for me are exercise, making sure that I get enough rest. And the other key one for me is meditation, definitely. Like, it just makes a massive difference. I think it kind of, yeah, they're my three key things.
And what do you believe that those three things give you that enable you to be not only a better coach, but actually a better anything that you do?
I think they give me, exercise is, well, it makes me stronger physically, but also stronger mentally. I run, I'm a dreadful runner, but it honours my, you know, I run outside, it honours my challenge value, it honours my freedom value. So it's kind of a way of me honouring several of my values. I think meditation gives me a bit of space, and it kind of gives me a bit of, I don't know, it's really hard to describe, but it's almost like I always feel like your feelings are here and then meditation gives you a bit of a gap. It allows me to kind of pause and reflect. So I think it definitely makes me a better human being. And therefore, I don't necessarily think it necessarily brings anything to my coaching, but I think by me being a better human being makes me a better coach.
I totally resonate with everything you just said, Lisa. I've done my first Pilates class this morning in 2.5 years. I'm like, it's been on my self-care list for the last 2.5 years. So I'm sitting here with an aching back and God knows what else from doing the Pilates. But I feel different already today, and I know that it's going to make a difference to the rest of my day from doing that. So the self-care piece feels like it impacts my range in everything that you've just said. Completely.
I think it's crucial. It's so fundamental, I think, to my coaching. And I hadn't, it's bonkers because I did fundamentals a year ago, but I think it's taken me this long to realise it.
I feel similar to you. I don't know why I've been putting this off so long. It was so easy. I just booked the class online and went there. It was 10 minutes from my son's nursery. I don't know what the hell I've been procrastinating about, but I feel like it's just so easy, but I don't know what was stopping me. But I already, hear everything you say and feel it's going to make such a big difference.
Yeah.
It's almost as if we forget to care for ourselves. Yeah. Actually, what I'm really hearing is that's almost fundamental, not just to how we are as a coach, but actually how we are as people. And because we're working closely, often one-to-one with other humans, actually, we really need to have our own self-care. We really need to have that range to accept everything that we are, both light and dark, in order to hold the space for this magnificent person sat right in front of us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's as simple as you say, just do a Pilates lesson. Just go to the session. And actually, and what Paula, you're speaking about, is what that really offers you is more than just the 1 hour of sitting there on those machines, but actually the self-care, the self-love, it opens up so much to you now for the rest of the day.
I feel a little bit cleverer. I don't know if that's right. I just feel I've got this couple of things I've been putting off to do with my coaching business, as you know. And I feel like I'm just, I just want to get on them today. I've been sitting on them for weeks.
Yeah.
I love that bit about being cleverer. And I completely agree. And I think it's that thing for me, the nourishment is the, and the self-care is doing it as we are a whole person. So the meditation or the physical exercise, however they come for each person. If you're looking after your whole being, then the aliveness comes better. My supervisor for certification has challenged me to, or requested that I dance very silly for 5 minutes before I coach. So whatever comes on the radio. And it's made such a huge difference. And it doesn't mean that I'm there like this all the way through the session. And like, if that's where I'm meeting them, great. But it also means that I can hold the quiet or the spaciousness stronger. So, but it's definitely affected my range. Being more physical.
And I love what you say there, because actually in my oral exam for certification, so I don't know who's done the orals and who haven't, but on the oral, there's two people phone in. And then one person dials out and then lets that first person do their exam and then you dial in and do yours. And so I was the second person. And actually what I did for the time that I was waiting was dance. And I'm not like massively embodied and physical, but I knew that I just didn't want to be in my head and I needed to be connected to myself as a whole person, because that's my place of stretch. I can really easily go to my head, or I can really easily go to a really still physical place. But actually my place of stretch often is that movement piece and to really connect with my body. And so I love what you say there, because something as simple as a little dance or a jump or even singing that we take for granted or that we just feel too paranoid to engage in really helps us with how we coach, how we are as people, and really kind of how we show up and kind of how we show up as our complete selves.
It's interesting. We were working with the Japanese Ikigai model this week. And I was looking at the whole what I love to do relative to everything else. And
sorry, can you say the name of the model again? I'm sorry, I missed it.
Ikigai. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but Ikigai.
Okay, thank you.
And there are four different pieces of it. There's what I'm great at. And you kind of interview other people and see what they say. And then what the world needs, what I can be paid for. But then the other part is what I love to do. And I had my husband look at it and he said, well, all of it fits together, except not so much what you love to do. And I realized, you know, this is a model of who you are as a person and why you get up in the morning. And and just what's resonating with me around this, what everyone else has said is, but that's all the stuff that makes you, you. And that's what gives you range. So it doesn't need to tap into my work, all of it. But if I'm doing all those other things that I love to do, as you guys rightly pointed out, just having an understanding of what makes you a complete or makes me a complete whole person, then it resonates in every other part. So it kind of goes along that's kind of, for me, thank you everyone, because that's kind of my answer, the missing piece around that model, kind of.
And as you say that, what comes up for me is, like, as I look at all of you on this call, is we're all building practices as coaches for work that we love to do. Like, actually, I really feel connected to myself as a coach and facilitator. That is part of who I am. That is a stretch for me. And there's also comfort there. Like, my work and the work that you're all doing is something that we love. And giving ourselves that kind of freedom from the pressures of going to jobs that maybe don't satisfy us is also part of having range, I think, and having the confidence to know that this is what I want and this is the impact that I want to have in the world.
Yeah, Corey, what you just said as well, it's like I've known this for so long. Like, if you do other stuff that you love, like you pick up your running or you go and see gigs or go to, or whatever it is that you love, it makes you a better person. But it's just like clicked. From what you said just now. So, yes, thank you.
So we're kind of really in the space of, I suppose, fulfillment, if we're going to name it in principle, like those things that really resonate with us and those places that we really love to go. And even though they're stretched there, we're really comfortable going there. But range is also about stretching into those places that are difficult. And I mean, when we think of process, on the Saturday of process, it's all about being with those things that we find it hard to be with. And for me, that's also part of self-care, actually taking yourself to those places, really knowing when it's the right place to be in terms of it's a place of expansion, a place of life affirmation, and also understanding and recognizing when it's a place of sabotage and it's a place of kind of life diminishment. What are people's opinions on the kind of the darker side or the shadow side of ourselves and expanding into that for the sake of being a bigger person in the context of coaching, for the sake of being able to hold our clients in their darkness?
To me, that's where the work really comes into play. I find it really uncomfortable to visit my dark side, and I'm sure we all do. And it's a space that I want to hold very, very safely for my clients, because it's a place that I feel so strongly that my clients have to visit. Otherwise, they won't grow from not visiting it, if that makes sense. So therefore, I know I have to go there, and I have to do things that are really uncomfortable. And I don't like it. And something I'm learning about this work is wherever there's discomfort, I have to lean into it rather than avoid it now, because there's more pain in avoidance. And every time I lean into it, it's never as scary as I initially think it's going to be. And I learned that very much through process, just really facing up to something and really admitting, actually, this is where I'm at and this is what's happening for me now. And that's okay, because there's nothing wrong with that. And that, to me, when you use the word range, that's my understanding of it, really, is range is go to the places that you can't go to. And it's easy for me to coach, as you said, in fulfillment, it's easy for me to coach about, or it's more simple to coach about, you know, what do you love and what are your values and what makes you happy? But actually, to really visit the darker sides of our soul, that, to me, that's the true magic of coaching.
What you say has real resonance for me, and I think that I see myself as a coach who does build resonance, but actually who also is kind of really big armed and open-hearted and holds people in that space that is sometimes really uncomfortable. Because as you say, when you sit there, you do emerge from it. One of the things that I often find difficult on my own work is knowing the difference between when I'm just allowing the saboteur to beat myself up and say to me, you need to grow here. And actually, it's almost like whipping myself and putting myself through pain from a saboteur kind of place. And then really recognizing when it's actually a place of growth and actually leadership, even though it's hard, it's a real place of responsible and intentional leadership. How do you recognize the difference in that? And how do you kind of shut the saboteur down, but leave that dark kind of leadership open?
I think there's more acceptance for me when it's just a dark place that I want to visit from a leadership place. So the saboteur comes in, it's like, you're not good enough, or who do you think you are? You know, there's those voices. The voices are very, very different, and they present themselves very differently. And the feeling is very different. So when I know I need to lean into something that's very uncomfortable, it isn't an anxiety or a stress. It's more of a just an exploration, an uncomfortable exploration. But when I'm in saboteur mode, it's just stress and overwhelm and anxiety. So yeah, I think I feel very differently around it.
And how do you recognize those feelings as well? Like, what are the emotions, the physical sensations, like what happens in your entire self? Because this is also another place where we read our whole bodies for information. And that's also part of the growth and the expansion. But what do you notice about yourself?
I get very, when I'm in saboteur mode, and you know, you've got to do this and you've got to do that and you're not doing enough, I get very in my head. I get very sort of, I can't really think straight. I have a lot of panic here. I start doing things really quickly just to get them done. And actually, when I'm in the exploration phase, everything is calmer, even though there is discomfort there, but there's just, it's just gentler. I'm slower. I do things a bit slower, a bit more considered. And I'm not so in my own head. There's more acceptance that things will just, I know things fall into place if I allow them to. So that just feels gentler on my body, even as I say it.
About trusting yourself.
Yeah.
How do other people experience kind of that angle of expansion? So the more being with the thing that you find hard.
For me, it happened yesterday. I had a client who is very quick and very bright, very fast. And I think I was impressed. And I wanted to beat him in some way. Or be a better coach. And I was working too hard. And I felt the same symptoms, like tight. It felt like disconnected, like too much thinking. And what I discovered afterwards is that I don't need anyone intellectually, because it's nothing intellectual. It's just connecting and opening the space and dancing in this moment. Without proving to anyone that I'm brighter or he's brighter or faster, or we're not measuring each other. And I think that's very personal for me. For me, this is my weakness. For others, there may be other weaknesses, but that was like my big saboteur saying me, you need to be that, you need to be as bright as he is. You need to show what you're worth, yes? That was my big saboteur. So I coached from my saboteur and not from my real self.
And how did it feel? So it's brilliant that you recognize that and that you either recover in the moment or you recover now. But how did it feel when you are coaching from your saboteur, when you are limiting yourself and limiting the range? How did that feel?
So I felt the session was fairly good. But it didn't go deep. I touched two important points, but it didn't dare to go beyond that. So it was, I would say, a little bit superficial. It was okay, but it was okay, but it lacked like this punch, you know, the strength to really be on the spot.
And I would like to say I believe that it was probably much deeper than you are giving yourself credit for now, because actually just by recognizing that you have that saboteur actually means that you do have range to be able to deal with that in the moment. And actually I think that is part of it as well. Part of our recovery is noticing and recognizing. And so well done for recognizing that. And really, rather than seeing it as a weakness, it is a place of stretch or a place of growth. And this is, I suppose, what range is about. None of us are ever perfect. None of us are finished models. So the way I coach yesterday won't be as good as the way I coach, or will be different, rather, to the way I coach tomorrow, because it's a different day. I've grown a bit more. So it isn't necessarily about it didn't go as deep as it should, but it went as deep as in that moment it could. And I think that reframe is part of my way of being kind of like loving myself and caring for myself and accepting that I have this range today, and tomorrow it will be a bit bigger. And some days my best is not as big as it was on another day. And all of those factors come in for our clients as well as us. And so range is also about accepting yourself entirely and who you are.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to ask on a related point to that, because that really resonated with me, what Natalie was saying, because I'm quite new to the CDI journey. We started co-curriculum. And for me, it's when I think of range, the thing that comes up for me is, okay, I'm naturally good at some points of coaching, obviously still exploring that. But I'm perhaps not so comfortable in you know, it's like being creative, for example, could be with my client. So what Natalie was saying is that the saboteur is in the room when you're coaching. Is what are some of the strategies that people use to recognize that, but also to recover from it?
So what do you do, Gessie? How do you recover?
I think recognizing is the first step to it, and then recognizing that you're in level one instead of level three, and you know, you're in your head rather than being dancing in the moment. And then just really refocusing, I guess. Yeah. And as you were saying, rather than beating yourself about it, because then you'll go back into your head, is to let it go there and then, and then just refocus is what I would do, I think. But yeah, I'd be interested in knowing how, you know, others do it.
So how do others of you do that? So when you are in a coaching session and you recognize that actually you're coaching from your saboteur, how do you recover?
I've had a client that I was coaching very much my saboteur, and my body just felt weak. And I felt like an observer in the situation. That was my response to it, really. And I didn't recover so much when it was it's worse in the situation, but part of the my growth to deal with it has been this silly dancing beforehand, things like that. And thinking about my posture when I sit, am I sitting curved back? I feel like I'm observing, but if I'm sitting with my heart open or standing with my heart open, then I feel like I'm more present and leaning into the relationship. So I think by remembering what I'm doing with my physicality and tapping into almost like moments of my own process to be able to keep in myself in the coaching rather than my saboteur in there.
Actually, I think that's a really interesting point. And I would second that. If I'm getting stuck in a moment, I would get my client up and move something, just move the energy. But sometimes it's for them to get out of their own energy. And, you know, probably 50% of the time it's for me to get out of mine. And something always comes from just changing it and getting out of your head and into your body. And there is such power in what's happening within your body. And I don't think I give that enough, I was going to say headspace. I don't think I give that enough kind of airtime. And I don't play into that enough. And that's definitely a range I need to explore more of. But every time I've stood up and got my client up or jumped up and down or whatever it is, something has always shifted within that session.
Yeah, I'm low on the whole geography piece and the body embodiment piece. So I was going to ask the question later on if there was time for questions on that. But just to answer the question about the saboteur piece, I go back to basics. For me, that really works. So I literally articulate what's going on. I name it. I listen out for any kind of clues from the client and just get completely curious about what they're saying and just ask a couple of really big, powerful questions on anything they're asking. So those are the three things that work for me, I think. Just the back to basics kind of stuff. Just get really curious, articulate what's going on and name it and see where that's going. I just kind of throw myself back into the conversation.
And I think...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
The articulating what's going on sometimes is also articulating what's going on for you. So actually to say I've gone to my head, to your client, because actually that sometimes just kicks it out, and it's just about being open and honest. It's not necessarily kind of saying to the client, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. It's just saying, oh, I've gone to my head. I'm really present to yourself. And I also want to say, like Nicole, for me, I reckon probably 100% of the time the getting up and walking is about me as a coach, because actually it does get me. I find walking as a coach keeps me embodied, just to some extent, keeps me out of my head. It's almost like my body is doing something, so I have to be conscious of what I'm feeling and the sensations I have, rather than the kind of the thoughts that drag me out of the moment. Sorry, Corey, I think I spoke over you then. What were you going
to say? No, same. I was just going to say that more and more, for me, it's about naming it. and doing it in a way of saying, gosh, that just took me to X. What did it do for you? And so many times that person will say, wow, how did you have that intuition? Or I had the same thing. Or it always opens a door, regardless. And even so much as even naming, and Paula, you said this before, of saying to a client, I had that experience with that. And I did that recently. And they said, thank you so much for sharing that with me. Because they said, it is so helpful to know that my coach has gone through that too. So I think you're right about not spending 15 minutes going on about myself, but even just saying I can identify with that. Because if so much of this is about communication and building relationships, wow, you've just done that in a massive way, especially funnily enough, early on. And it just helps, it has helped me dive in and become that much more, having that much more of a connection.
Yeah, I love what you say, because actually if your saboteur is there, or if you're in your head, well, that's probably true for your client. And use what you're feeling as an indicator of what your client is feeling. So use your level one to read the level two and to read the level three. And one of the things I often say to clients I have is that, or clients who are coaches, so they understand the concept of one, two, three. Actually, level one is nested in level two, which is nested in level three. And I use a metaphor of a Russian doll. It isn't that your level one isn't allowed in the space. It's that your level one isn't taking charge of the space. And actually offering up what's going for you on for you at level one in a really unattached way takes a lot of range. Not being attached to you throwing something out there and the client going with it is quite difficult at times, but actually it really adds to the space, and it helps you learn where your intuition comes from. It helps you learn how you know what other people might be sensing in this space. But for me, everything, like my level one is connected to level two and level three. And when I was able to really appreciate and accept that I didn't have to self-manage myself out of the relationship, suddenly I was able to really listen to what was going on in that space. And I wasn't obsessed with trying to get rid of me, and I let me be there.
Great, thank you. There's such a simplicity to what you say, and that always brings it back home, that actually you just need to show up as you are. And every time that I've been very transparent and been brave enough to be really transparent, say, actually, this is what's going on for me right now, what was that mean for you, something magical has come from it. And I find that in every session I do show up differently in each session, because we're going through different emotions throughout the day, and I can really impact my client in however I am choosing to show up within that moment. And I've found that the more authentically I do show up in that session, and the more comfortable I am with whatever's happening for me, they get much more, it just seems like a much more of a flowing session. And it's really easy. I do get caught up in my head of, oh my God, I think I just missed that last word. And oh, I just had that question. And what was that great question? But they'd already moved on. And that there's no flow there for me. And the more I'm coaching, the more I'm learning, actually, I just have to show up and be with, because that's why I ask of my client. I want them to show up however they are in that moment. I want them to be with whatever they are with, because that's where the learning is, that's where the information is for me as their coach, and then I can move them forward. And I sometimes forget that I have to do that for myself. So it's modeled behavior, isn't it? If I want that for my client, I have to bring that.
And do you feel like you're working really hard as well? Because I know when that my saboteur is present, because I just feel like I'm working my ass off, and I know that, you know, something's not right, because you'd, like you say, Nicole, you're not present, you're not in the flow, you're worrying about the question and you're trying to hold on to something over here and that sort of thing. So I just feel like I'm working like way too hard and breaking out in a sweat.
And yes, I absolutely do. And the times where I put that down, yeah, it's just magic. That's where the magic happens. And it isn't hard work, is it? It's just such a privilege to be in that space if I allow it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I've got goosebumps on what you both said, because actually that revelation for me totally changed to how I coach, in that actually when you know and you trust that you are enough in that moment, it's so easy and it's got so much flow, even when you're holding some really big emotions, whether they be like joyous or sorrowful emotions. Actually, when you know that you are enough as a human being for that person in front of you, there's just a beauty and a freedom. And for me, it's the work, like with a capital W, like what we do has such impact and such beauty. And let's trust ourselves that we know how to do this. All we need to do is own our range in every single moment. So I love what you both say, because actually it isn't hard work. There is ease and there is flow, even when the topic is one that's difficult for the client. Guess who, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thank you, everyone, for sharing.
I also want to circle back to embodiment, and I want to circle back to something that Bryony said about standing with your heart open, actually. And for me, that's like a beautiful poetic image, is actually when you're physically there, kind of chest out, heart open, that's how you are in the space. So even when you're on the phone and there's no camera, actually you're putting your heart into that space. And when you really, that for me is the essence of embodiment. And when you really trust that, then all you can do is kind of embody yourself entirely in those moments and really kind of step into it heart first. How does that resonate with people?
I mean, it's so beautiful. And to be able to do work where you can stand there with your heart open, I mean, yeah, that resonates to the deepest part of me. Because, and that's what I want for my clients. I want them to be able to live a life where they are open-hearted and wholehearted. And that's what I'm about as a coach. And therefore, I have to bring that myself.
Joanna, I notice you've unmuted yourself. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, the image that I got when you said that was about, it's just like you're standing really tall with your arms and heart open. And there's a real difference in energy to when... I know, like when I'm in saboteur mode, I'm more like, it's like this panic of you're trying to, like, I love what Nicole said about, I think I heard a word there, and you're like trying to grab onto things, rather than just kind of, when you're coming at it from that energy of just like standing there and it's just like allowing it all in, it changes everything. You're just so much more receptive to them, fully in service of them, rather than grappling in panic mode. So yeah, what that open heart really, I don't know, yeah, I just got that image.
And I think when you say when your heart's open and you're fully in service of them, actually what really also comes up for me is when you're in service of you, then you can be in service of them. When you're battling against what your body and what everything you kind of instinctively know, when that's a battle, then you can't be in service of people. And actually, the saboteur is a battleground. And it's a difficult place to be. So you're not serving you, you're not serving them. You're just kind of, I suppose, giving into whatever limiting thoughts and beliefs you have.
I think when you're... in that open-hearted place and embodying it, it's so much easier to dance in this moment. Yeah. So, like Paula was saying, it being exhausting when you're coaching for a saboteur place. And I love Joanna's sort of that feeling of like, oh, all these bits. Yeah, you sort of, it helps you lift out of that and be able to flow better.
I think I'm making a realization. It's that when I was coaching from the saboteur, I was like this, like, crouched down, you know, both times. Then when I walk straight up, it's better. And when I'm sitting straight, it's better. So I really now see the connection between my body position and what is happening in the space.
Yeah, beautiful. And I think what's really coming out of this conversation is that actually embodiment feels like a real place of stretch for everybody, which feels counterintuitive. It definitely is always for me, but we experience life physically. And actually that's the simplest form of embodiment. Like even when it rains and the water hits your hand, that's a physical experience. But actually we have become so disconnected from understanding that embodiment feels like something weird. But what everybody is speaking to is actually when we really stretch into actually just accepting our bodies, even simply walking in certain ways or sitting in certain ways, everything else just opens up. And it's such a simple sentence to state, but maybe something that we forget so easily. And Paula, I know you had a question about embodiment, so I'm noticing the time, but do you want to ask that before we start to wrap up?
We've sort of been touching on it. I just wondered, it feels like it's a stretch for me. I'm not quite sure why, because I'm sort of quite happy with it. I just sort of feel like I don't know if I think to use it, or maybe I know that it's not everybody's cup of tea or something like that. So I just wondered if anybody felt the same, or if anybody had any tips around stretching into embodiment, things that have worked for them.
I was just thinking about that, Paula, because yeah. I'm exactly the same. And I was just thinking about a coaching situation recently where it would have been so easy and so fantastic just to say, hey, let's stand up. Yeah. And I just don't think to do it. And I just sort of gave myself a coaching request and said, over the next week, I'm just going to really put a little note on my computer just to say, don't forget to move. Because in kind of that whole bit of the model of what I loved, so much of what I love to do is move.
Yeah.
And to be outside.
Yeah.
And I thought, why am I not? And before this call, I wouldn't have brought my range. That wouldn't have occurred to me. And I'm thinking, wow, that's an area where I'd love to work on my range.
Mm.
And even if it's just standing up and saying, hey, you know what, let's get some energy into this. Mm. Or whatever it needs to be. I thought that's sort of the kind of exploration I'm putting on my own plate.
Yeah.
Just to say, where does feel right for me?
Yeah.
But try it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
I'm going to do the same as you. I think I'm going to put something on my, I've got some wireless like headset that I use so I think if I see it on there, that remind me to not be tethered and I can move. So yes, I'm going to join in your challenge.
When I do coach on Zoom, I've taken to sort of sitting on the front of my chair, just on my sit bones. So I'm in a good posture and ready to go. So I could go and lie down on the floor if that's what we end up doing, or I can stand up, and it's like my body's ready for moving. But I'm actually...
Brian, you sound like you're sort of like on your marks, you know, like an athlete, you know.
But kind of, because I could do some breathing as well, like I'm settled and I could stay there if that's what need be, but it's that aliveness. But luckily, one of the places I coach face-to-face, I've actually got the option of what they call a therapy room, so there's sofas and a chair in there, which I don't like so much. Or a yoga space. So face-to-face working, there's no chairs in there.
Yeah.
And I could change that if there's mobility issues, but there's cushions and there's space to move around in. So I've actually said to them, I'd rather be in that room, thank you.
Yeah, that's a yoga space.
I think it's about our environment we're coaching in, whatever that is, and whether the client's there or not. But that sort of preparation, that sort of 5 minutes before the call for me really makes a difference.
Mm.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a good tune on the radio.
and I think it's exactly not being tethered to something. So one of the things that I advise all coaches, but I also get my clients to do, is have a hands-free set, because we will move. Tethering yourself, it's like tethering your soul, tethering your body, like freedom. And what I suppose I'd like to do is leave people with a bit of a challenge. And so I'm gonna steal Corey's kind of request and challenge herself and say, actually, And this doesn't just have to be around embodiment, but around areas that you all know that you want to stretch in, just really consciously start dropping them into your coaching, but also your everyday life. So fake it so you can make it. So actually, if embodiment is the area, we'll actually choose to use embodiment 7 times in a coaching session, for example. Even if it doesn't feel so natural to you, use it, practice with it, almost tally it off. And I know that we say coaching should be about this moment, but there's always, always an opportunity to be present to your body. It's never not about this moment, because your body is in this moment. So trust that even if you're faking the embodiment, or you feel like you are, it is relevant to the present moment. It is part of the dance. That is why it's called dance in this moment. It's a physical thing that you're doing in this moment. It's not be present in this moment. So take that and tally that off, because what you will find is eventually, and really quite quickly, it becomes a natural part of how you coach and how you are, and that's how you expand your range. You just keep practicing. Does anybody have any kind of final comments they want to make, or any questions they want to ask before we start to wrap up?
Yes, I would like to say something. I've had a client where she was talking about her captain, and I said, okay, so instead of just talking about your captain very seriously, why don't we get up and you show me? And so I was making her walking around in the room, really embodying her captain, and she was doing great. But afterwards, she told me, when the session was over, this was really uncomfortable for her, the walking around and embodying her captain. And then I educated her and that coaching is not about feeling comfortable, and sort of asked her what she got from it. And she told me that she, about her emotions that she took from it. But afterwards, in the next session, she mentioned it again, like, are we going to walk around again today? And I said, it's not the plan. And then I think 2 sessions later, we did another exercise where she was walking into her future. So we took 1 step at a time. And there she said, oh, this kind of walking, I like much more than the other type of walking. So I'm just kind of wondering, how do you know when the embodiment is, good for the client, or maybe it's too much?
I was actually just going to say, what a brilliant story to end on, because that for me is a story of transformation actually happening. So you took the client to somewhere that was uncomfortable, and actually they grew, their range grew. There was some kind of transformation for them, so that when they came back, actually they were keen to start walking again, because actually it had gone from being something that was a bit awkward to, oh yeah, I've got this, I can do this. And that is what transformation is. That's what range expansion is. And ultimately, I believe that's what coaching does. So for me, that's a brilliant story to really close on this session on range, and actually a real kind of illustration of what even 1 second in coaching can do about growing people. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're welcome.
So that's time. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining. Thank you for all of your words of wisdom. I hope that you all take something from this. I know that I have. And I will be doing these fortnightly. So do keep a lookout. Come again. And let me know if there's any topics that you want to have a brilliant conversation on. And we can set that up. Enjoy your day. I'll speak to you all soon.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.